Okay, so let's dive right into this. You've probably seen the headlines. The U.S. kind of hitting pause on a lot of international aid. And I think a lot of that skepticism stems from this idea that projects are aiming to do good but don't always hit the mark. And we're going to kind of go beyond the sound bites and explore why some of these projects struggle and what's being done to try to make sure that that aid actually makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complex issue.
Sure.
And I think it's important to acknowledge that good intentions don't always translate into, lasting impact on the ground.
Right.
So there's a growing need to really understand not just what we're investing in, but how those investments actually translate to change in people's lives.
So that's where monitoring and evaluation comes in, or M&E for short.
M&E, yeah.
And I'm curious from your perspective, what M&E really is,
Yeah.
because it seems like it's more than just crunching numbers.
Absolutely. I mean, think of it like a quality control system, but for, projects aimed at alleviating poverty and, creating positive change. And it goes beyond just tracking spending. It's about assessing the real impact on communities. So, are we actually making a difference? Are we improving lives? And if not, why not?
So it's not just about like how many schools were built,
Exactly.
but did those schools actually improve literacy rates like down the line?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think to get to that full picture, we need to kind of look at the difference between internal and external M&E.
Okay.
So internal M&E is done by the organization implementing the project, and it focuses more on, their processes and kind of their immediate outcomes.
Gotcha.
So imagine you have a project that's aiming to improve farming techniques.
Okay.
Internal M&E might track how many farmers have adopted a new irrigation method or something like that.
Okay, so that's one piece of the puzzle. But what about that kind of bigger, longer-term picture?
And that's where external M&E comes in. And that's often done by donors or, independent evaluation groups.
Okay.
And they kind of take that longer view. So, years later, they might go and assess, did those new irrigation methods actually lead to higher crop yields
Oh.
or, better incomes for the farmers? It's about kind of measuring that sustainable change.
And that's where things get really interesting for me, I think, because we're talking about people and different stakeholders in these projects have different ideas of what success actually looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit a very crucial point. I think, international development involves a whole web of different players. You have donors implementing partners like NGOs, governments, and of course the communities themselves, and each might define success differently.
So a donor might focus on the number of wells that were built. Well, the community might prioritize like long-term access to clean water and like actual health outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, donors tend to focus on things that are measurable. So, outputs, things that can easily quantify. Whereas communities are more focused on long-term outcomes, their well-being, things that are much harder to kind of capture in a simple report.
And that clash of perspectives can create problems, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about good intentions anymore.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, a classic example of something called goal incongruence in agency theory.
Okay.
And essentially, it's, when one party, the principal in this case, like a donor, delegates work to another party, an agent or an implementing partner,
Okay.
problems can arise if their goals aren't truly aligned.
So let's unpack agency theory a little bit, because it feels a little academic, and I want to make sure that it connects with how people kind of think about and understand international development.
Sure. So it's simpler than it sounds. So let's stick with our, well-building example.
Okay.
So the donor wants to see, as many wells built as quickly as possible.
Right.
But the implementing partner who's actually working on the ground, might know that a more sustainable approach involves building fewer wells, but also training community members on, maintenance and water management.
So they both want clean water, but they have different ideas of how to get there.
And that kind of leads us to another key issue, which is information asymmetry.
Okay.
So the implementing partner often has a lot more, on the ground knowledge than the donor does,
Sure.
and there might be problems that are hidden or, actions taken that don't really reflect the needs of the community.
So it's not necessarily like malice or anything, but just different perspectives and access to information. And I can see how that creates tension.
And this is really where, M&E steps in,
Okay.
because by gathering and analyzing, the right data,
Yeah.
M&E can expose those goal mismatches
Okay.
and kind of fill those information gaps. And it becomes a tool for, transparency and shared understanding.
So M&E is not about just measuring success or failure, but about aligning everyone who's involved, making sure they're speaking the same language.
Yeah, it's about, you know, making sure that projects are driven by the needs of the community.
Right.
And that everyone has access to the information they need to make, you know, the best decisions.
I love this idea of M&E as like a bridge.
Yeah.
Like a translator between donors and communities.
Right.
But we also have to talk about risk.
Yeah.
Because these projects, they operate in the, you know, complex environments by nature.
Absolutely. You're right. You know, international development is inherently risky, right? I mean, unpredictable environments, social and political dynamics, you know, limited resources. So M&E is really crucial for navigating those risks effectively.
So it's not just about evaluating what's happened, but looking ahead.
Right.
And spotting problems that might occur.
Exactly.
And finding ways to kind of mitigate them.
Yeah, it's about proactive problem solving.
So is it almost like a risk assessment?
Exactly. M&E helps identify those potential risks early on.
Okay.
And then you monitor those risks throughout the life cycle of the project. And it facilitates discussions between, you know, donors and partners about how to share those risks.
This raises a question for me. Could better risk management be the key to preventing some of those really high profile aid project failures?
Oh, yeah.
That we sometimes see in the news?
Yeah.
You know, the ones that fuel all this skepticism about aid effectiveness.
Yeah, it's definitely a major factor. You know, a strong M&E system can act like an early warning system.
Gotcha.
And, you know, flag issues before they become, you know, major setbacks.
Right. So if you spot a risk early on,
yeah,
you have a better chance of addressing it.
Right. Exactly. It's about course correction and adaptation.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But how does M&E actually manage risk in practice?
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like on the ground?
Well, think of it like a doctor, you know, running tests to diagnose a patient.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
You know, so M&E helps us diagnose what's really happening in a project.
So it could be, you know, lack of community buy-in or logistical challenges,
mm-hmm.
even something as simple as, you know, miscommunication about the goals of the project.
Yeah.
M&E helps bring all those to light.
Exactly. And it's not just about, you know, collecting the data. It's about using that data to make decisions, you know,
sure.
adapt, course correct along the way. It's about accountability, not just to donors,
right,
but to the communities themselves.
That makes me think about stakeholder involvement.
Yeah.
Like, how do we ensure that all the different voices are heard?
Right.
The donors, the partners, the community itself.
Right.
Like, how are they represented in this M&E process?
That's a crucial challenge. And, you know, there's no one size fits all solution, but I think some, you know, effective approaches involve, you know, involving community members directly in data collection.
Okay.
Using participatory methods like focus groups,
right.
community meetings to gather feedback.
Sure.
And making sure that, you know, M&E reports are translated into local languages and shared widely.
So it's not just about collecting the data.
Right.
But making sure that it's accessible.
Yes. And meaningful to the people that it's supposed to serve.
Absolutely. M&E should be empowering, not a tap-down exercise, you know. It should really give communities a voice in shaping the projects that affect their lives.
And this is where it gets really interesting for me, because we're starting to see a shift away from that traditional, like, top-down M&E towards these more, like, participatory, community-driven models.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a new wave of M&E that really emphasizes, you know, local knowledge, community ownership. It recognizes that communities aren't just passive recipients of aid.
Right.
They're active agents of change.
So instead of just asking, you know, did this project meet its objectives?
Right.
We're asking, did it actually make a difference in people's lives? And
how
do they define success?
Exactly. That's a huge shift.
Yeah.
And it's crucial for ensuring that, you know, aid projects are truly responsive to community needs.
Right.
And that the changes that, you know, they bring about are sustainable in the long term. It's moving beyond just checking boxes to understanding, you know, the actual impact on people's lives.
Yeah, and I think this idea that M&E can be a tool for empowering communities is really powerful.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about accountability to donors,
right,
but it's about accountability to the people themselves.
And when it's done right,
it
can create kind of this, like, virtuous cycle.
Absolutely.
Right, where better data leads to more informed decisions, which leads to more effective projects,
right,
and ultimately a greater impact and, you know, improved lives.
Exactly. That's what we're all aiming for.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah.
From defining M&E to kind of its evolving role in development.
Right.
What stands out to you as, like, the most important takeaway for our listeners?
I think for me, it's recognizing that, you know, M&E isn't just a bureaucratic step.
Okay.
It's fundamental to effective aid.
Yeah.
You know, it's about turning good intentions into, you know, real measurable improvements in people's lives.
Yeah.
It's about learning from our successes and our failures and constantly striving to do better.
That's a powerful message. And it highlights, I think, the responsibility that we all have as citizens and global citizens.
Yeah.
To demand more accountability and transparency.
Absolutely.
In how aid is delivered.
Right.
And to support organizations that are committed to using M&E effectively.
I completely agree. It's about ensuring that aid isn't just a temporary fix.
Yeah.
It's a catalyst for lasting positive change.
And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into M&E.
Okay.
But before we go, I have one final thought for our listeners to consider.
Yeah.
We've been talking about M&E in, you know, international development.
Right, where the stakes are, you know, really high.
But what if we kind of brought some of these principles closer to home?
Yeah.
You know, what if we applied this really rigorous approach to monitoring and evaluating our own lives, our goals, our decisions, you know, our impact?
That's a fascinating thought.
So imagine like applying M&E to that personal project that you've been putting off, or, you know, to your progress on a new skill that you're trying to learn.
Yeah.
Setting clear objectives, you know, tracking your progress.
Right.
Identifying what's working and what's not.
It's about bringing that same level of intentionality and data-driven decision making to our personal journeys.
Exactly. Whether we're talking about global aid.
Yeah.
Or personal growth.
Right.
The core principles are really similar. It's about asking tough questions, gathering the right information, and using that knowledge to, you know, course correct and improve.
And perhaps by adopting that M&E mindset, you know, we can create more meaningful change, not just in our own lives, but in the world around us.
That's a powerful idea to leave our listeners with.
It has been a truly insightful deep dive.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise.
Of course.
It's been a pleasure kind of exploring this with you.
The pleasure was all mine. Until next time, keep asking those critical questions.
Yes.
Keep seeking out new knowledge and keep diving deep.